Reading in the book of St. Luke, the 8th verse. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck into those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity of the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and fighting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy of to escape all those things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. All right, now, it says here, 27th verse, and then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And if you'll turn over to the book of Revelation with me, go over to the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll find out that the Lord is opening the seals. Revelation 4, a door open in heaven. Revelation 5, the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne with the book in his hand to give it to the Lamb. The sealed book, Revelation 6, and he opens the book. That is the seals, he looses them. And if you'll notice, now Jesus, when he was on earth, he spake these things to his disciples. And he says very clearly, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. There'll be distress of nations, earthquakes, heart failure. The powers of heaven will be shaken. Whereas they're already getting into that through the atomic particles in the Bible, so the very heavens themselves, even the atmosphere itself, as to the elements shall be on fire, and the earth and all therein shall utterly be burned up. Then you go right hurriedly over to the book of Revelation, which was after Jesus departed, and John was on the Isle of Patmos a few short years later, and in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he receives this revelation, which is the rent veil of Calvary, the unveiling as to what Jesus was saying. And it says here in Revelation 6, 12th verse, And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? After this, then John saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth till God could seal the 144,000. And then after that he looked and he saw a great multitude in heaven that no man could number, that had come up through great tribulation as to the tribulation of your day here, of all nations and kindreds and tongues. And these having come up that way as to this, they were sealed there in heaven. They were in the presence of the Lamb to never weep anymore, and for the heat of the day to never light upon them anymore, to never feel uncomfortable anymore. But the Lamb would lead them to the fountain of living waters, and he would take care of them. See, so it's what Jesus said here in Luke, Esther 21. Find it in Matthew 24. And where he says here, there shall be signs in the stars and in the moon. And then he goes on to say how that the stars would fall from heaven and these different things. And then as I say, you turn right over here, and sure enough, here it is in the Revelation. We say, what kind of revelation? Well, John calls it right here. It says here, at the beginning, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then we know that something is taking place. We know that there is an hour that is now at hand, and we need to understand what is taking place, because there is some things that are taking place. And even though we as people, we are so prone just to consider the natural sources as to the things of the world and not the things of God, and we're so moved in our natural way of life to relate to the things of the world, in that we're born of the dust in our first birth, that we really never become spiritual in our whole lifetime. During our whole lifetime, we never really get spiritual. We go to church, and as I was saying a little bit ago, you ask anybody if they believe in God, and most assuredly they do believe in God. And you ask them, well, what do you think, you know, as to being a Christian? Oh, I'm a Christian, they'll say. I'm a Christian. I believe in the miraculous. I believe in all these things, you know. And indeed they do. Being a believer, that's not good enough. The Bible said, well, you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. This charismatic way of life, just believing, is not enough. Everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of God, but the works is he that doeth. As ye have had a will, then have a performance. And so then there's going to have to be a doing. You're going to have to do the will of God. He that doeth the will of God, having that will, have a performance, because your believing is dead altogether without works. You must do the will of God. And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So then we realize that there is more to this than the ministry in general is bringing forth today. And almost every ministry with their congregation today is making an allowance through compromising. And they are infiltrating the church with all kind of social benefits. And today, that which is supposed to be the cream of the crop as to holiness, today it's just like the Baptists and the Methodists and anything else. First of all, we need to remember something, that God is not Baptist, and God is not Methodist, and God is not Pentecost, and God is not Catholic, and God is not Church of Science, and he's not all these other titles you've got as to a church name you live, but you're dead. God is the Spirit of holiness. And the Bible said, without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. And Paul said, and this spirit is to God, the spirit of holiness. Then I serve this God with my spirit. Or that is, I give my spirit to holiness, because he is the spirit of holiness. Why anybody wants to cater to something else, there could only be one reason. That is looking for some kind of vain prestige. or some kind of false thing as to accept this as being something in the world, you know, when they're nothing. I mean, what is Baptist? When you say Baptist, what is Baptist? The word means baptized, so what? People believe in baptized. Baptizing, most all denominations do. And what is Methodist? I said the other night that John Wesley started that. He had a method, and because of his method that was so different, they called them the man with the method, or the people with the method, or the Methodists. And as I said about the Presbyterians, which means the age one, as the Bible speaks of the Presbyterian, see, as to the laying on of the hands of the elders, see, all these things, they mean nothing as to Christianity or bringing you to something. And it's a little childish gesture of people that will say, well, I'm Baptist and I'm Methodist, just as if to think that they've said something is great and outstanding. See, but all it is, it's just, there's a lot of people that followed John Wesley. And if he could get up out of his grave today, he'd probably want to catch them by the heels and shake them until they got the right sense in them. Because they've twisted the thing around and messed it up so that they wouldn't even recognize John Wesley if he come preaching. It was like it was in the days when God Almighty gave to Moses the wonderful word of God. And then as the days passed on down and God came back to receive the fruit of the vineyard, he gave him the parable of what they had done. And they had made so many insertions, so many changes, putting in so many addendums, until that they had got the word so changed from what Moses had it, that they were teaching the tradition of the elders and making void the commandments of God, and did not even recognize God when he came by the word that they had. See, and because of that, I read right here to you where the Bible said, in great wrath is determined upon these people, the Jews, because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. And it's going to be the same way with the Gentile people. It's coming. See, because the word of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever to 1,000 generations, it's here to you, and you're doing with it the same way as to the Jews. They did one thing with it, you're doing the same thing. And it's going to be harder for you. For the Bible said it'll be worse for you than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah when God rained fire right down out of heaven. See, it'll be worse for you. He told Tyre and Sidon and some of the others, he said, and I say unto you, he said, because of these things that have been wrought in your presence and the things that you have seen, we will say as the Gentile world, having seen these great and mighty things, he said, Sodom and Gomorrah never had the privilege of seeing these kind of things. And I say unto you that it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than in the day, than for you in the day of judgment. And Capernaum, he said, some of you have walked there along the shores of Galilee with me over in Capernaum, some of the other places where Jesus done such mighty works. He said, thou that exalt, that has been exalted to heaven shall be cast down to hell. So, folks, as I said this morning, we see people doing wrong, and we see the judgments of God upon them. And Jesus said, seeing these things, you still do wrong. You still do wrong. We're the people that know what's right, and we're the people that know what's wrong. Jesus said, how can you escape the judgments of God knowing this? See, so we are the people that know. And we are the people that understand. Here, I'm looking into the book of Revelation, and I'm looking at this thing, as I said. Here we are looking at a book that has been sealed with seven seals, and that on the back side of it. It's very evident that we are looking at the book of redemption as to the fact that whatever God gave to the Jews of the many, many things of ritualistics and the many laws and those things as to what God gave unto the Jews, they did not perform them. They had the law, Paul said, and none of you keep it. And the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because you don't keep it. And he made this statement. He said, if they that are born of God, if they by nature keep the law, having no law as to the natural letter, won't they be justified when you that have the law as to the letter, you don't keep the law? For they are a law unto themselves, their thoughts being the means while accusing or excusing one another as to the continual warfare of casting down the wrong thoughts and establishing the right thoughts. As Paul said, when I would do good, I find a law that evil is present with me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he spoke of the victor through Calvary. All right, so then we see that this book has been sealed. Evidently, He is telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I come not to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill the law, that he has come and fulfilled the law at Calvary. And that every jot and every tittle hath then been fulfilled. And he folded up the law, he folded up the book, and he laid the book away, as to say his own body, in that he said, offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me, or for me. For he said, lo, it is written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. Thus saying, he taketh away the first, and that God found fault with that which did not do his will, and that he gave him the law, and they did not keep it. And now he hath brought to pass his will. Someone would say, then that means that the Jews, Brother Pike, did not keep the law. And God, realizing that he came to the Gentiles, knowing that the Gentiles would keep the law. That's not right at all. The Gentiles had been as bad or worse than the Jews. That wasn't what he was saying at all. He was saying that the Jews did not keep it. And it's very obvious, as I look toward the Gentiles, they will be as bad or worse. And so that I'm making myself a human body, and I'm coming down to this human body, and I'm going to fulfill my own word to my satisfaction and desire. And then I'm going to leave the Jews that keep trying to bring this thing to pass by human ritualistics. And I'm going to give grace over the whole world as to abundance of grace, that these people may have a chance for the tutoring as to the ministry of the church ages, to learn about me and learn about God and to learn about his ways and his love. And so then that they will have faith and confidence in me as their heavenly Father, and I will put all of their sins behind them and all of their iniquities behind them for one simple reason, and that is because they believe in me. They believe in me, or they will accept my righteousness. Therefore, I will impute it unto them, my faith, or their faith, as godliness or life. So then we see that these seals, seven of them on the back side, when Jesus finished it all, he fulfilled everything of the Old Testament. He folded the book up. He closed it up. And then the Spirit of God, which is seven spirits, like you see these seven candlesticks here. See, the seven candlesticks is before the throne of God is in heaven. Then in this, the seven spirits of God sealed the back of that book. It sealed the back of that book. And the book, as I said, as to a scroll, one scroll rolled over and a seal, another on the top and a seal, and another on the top unto the seven. See, and as opening, here comes the Lamb. When John sees the revelation, it is nothing less or more than the rent veil of Calvary and the Ark of God's covenant being revealed, which means the book being opened. So in the book of Revelation, the seals are open. So John, seeing this, writing about this, as to that that is revealed, being made known unto man, and that which is secret is God's. And as the Revelation 10 and 7, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God to be finished. And as we say, as to the original rendering of this thing, as to mystery, when the Bible uses the terms, great is the mystery of godliness, Paul said, I'm a steward of the mystery, for I write unto you how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Then here we find that the original rendering is, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High, for it says God's secrets. So we find that in this, we can get into the secrets by watching, studying, understanding the shadow. There is a shadow. Whereas David saying God looking down from heaven into this world, that's a great valley. He said, lo, I walk through this valley. And it is the valley of the shadow of death, that Satan is the god of this world, and the shadow is hanging over me like the clouds between the sun and the earth. And I walk through the valley of the shadows. He said, but I won't fear any evil, for thou art with me. He said, thy rod and staff, which means the Holy Ghost and the Word, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, in that ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. My cup is running over. And he went on to say, God would make him lay down in green pastures, and God would lead him by the still waters, and that he would abide in the house of the Lord forever. So then we find out that we're in this valley, and it's filled with shadows. And as Paul said concerning the Old Testament, that even until this day, the veil that was over Moses' face remains over the people as to the Moses followers. See, the veil that was over Moses' face still is over the face of Moses' followers, which was the Jews. And Paul was telling them that in his day because he was preaching to the Jews. But then when he came to the Gentiles, he said, now I am your apostle. I am your overseer. And now I have the revelation as to the revealed thing or the veil rent in two. And if you will listen, then you spoke as to that being types and that being shadows and that being allegories. He said, but we that come to God, there is veil, the veiled face no more. But the veil is taken away within Christ, and that you have Christ his heart, Christ his spirit, Christ his mind, Christ his understanding, Christ his ears, Christ his eyes. You are the body of Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And in that you are, he said, then the light has come to you. And this great light that has shined in darkness is now being comprehended by you. Though it shined in the darkness, the veil of death as to the intellectual reasoning that came to Adam and Eve closes it out. And you as children of darkness shall not see when good cometh, as to the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. For this light shining in darkness is this wisdom and understanding, and the Bible said they comprehended not. There is unto you of the end time. The Bible said it shall come to pass that there shall be light in the evening time, and them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death, great light is sprang up unto them, and now the true light shineth. And now this light has come unto you as to the rent veil of Calvary and the refracted light of that great capstone, and now the messengers of the church age as to the loosening of those seven seals as to one at a time is making it known unto you that you might know about this wonderful glory of the great wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible tells us that we should pray that God would grant unto you or us the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. All right, so then we find that with the sealing of this book, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. He did the will. He fulfilled everything. He said it is finished, closed the book, and when he closed the book, the backside of it was sealed, and with the presence of God, with these seven seals. And the reason seven seals, in that God is one spirit, as to the seven seals, is because it had to be seven angelic messengers that would, from the time of the rent veil, of the opening of this book, from that time as to the beginning of the church, where 3,000 was added unto the church in one day, from that time all the way down through the church ages to the coming of our day, where John saw Jesus standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. All down through there, it had to be that this book would be opened proportionally as to one seal, as to a church messenger, as to another seal, a church messenger, as to another seal, a church messenger, until this thing compounded itself, coming on down to the knowledge of God, giving us a little bit of that light at a time, that when it came down to the end of the trail, that there it would be a sevenfold light. Like scientists say, and the sun shall light up seven times as to its brightness now and go away in and over. The church will light up as seven times with this message of Christ, that is to say the seven candlesticks, light up with the fullness of God, and just like that it'll go away and the whole world will go into darkness. See, everything natural has to have a counterpart. So then we see that we're getting closer and closer to that time. Scientists are already talking about the sun burning out and talking about these kind of things. And we brought out some things not too long ago, because the Bible said there will be signs in the heavens, signs in the stars, as to the galaxies and all these things. And now then, scientists read the heaven like a book, like a scroll. And they understand it, and they're seeing all kind of things. He said in the earth there would be fire as to these awful fires we're having, and this bombing where that the elements are on fire, and so there'll be pillars of smoke as you see it mushroom up like it's never done before, as in this last age. And the Bible said, and it would be, even the elements would be on fire, as to saying that scientists, knowledge falsely so called, would tap onto these electrons and these neutrons and protons, as to saying atoms. See, and after a while, everything would be combustible. All right, so then we see that the Lord sealed this book after that Jesus fulfilled everything the Jews stumbled and staggered at. He came and fulfilled his own law. He made it perfect. He folded it up, sealed it up, and took it out of the way. If the Jews one time had ever fulfilled the law, completely fulfilled it, it would have been folded up, taken out of the way, and would not have had any problem with that, because the Bible teaches that the law was not sent to bring righteousness. Paul had the dispute with Peter over this, saying that if there had been a law that could have brought salvation and righteousness, Jesus Christ would never have had to die. If there was a law that would bring righteousness, then Christ Jesus died in vain. And he said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, you foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now you made perfect by the flesh? Are your works? All right, so then we see here that when the Lord got ready to fulfill it, as the Bible said, the law was added because of transgression until the seed should come as to whom the promise was made. And when the seed came as to Jesus, not as seeds of many, but as of one, and Isaac shall the seed be called. That is the promise, son. When he came, then that took care of it, because the promise was made to the son. And through thee shall all nations be blessed, or that is to say, grace given to all. And so then in this, when the seed came, there was no longer any need for the law, because the law was added because of transgression, to let man know that they were not fulfilling the things of God, but they were continually stumbling and staggering and just causing problems. And that's how that sin came to be imposed upon mankind, because the transgression of the law is sin. See, the Bible said when Adam sinned, that for many years until the coming of the law, that sin was not imputed unto those people, and neither was it imposed upon those people, though they had sinned after the similitude of Adam, but having no knowledge of it. Where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. But when the law came to bring the understanding of sin, to show that we were contrary to God as to the transgression, then sin came into view. So Satan took advantage. And in taking advantage, in doing that, then sin began to abound. But where sin did abound, God gave the death of his son, and grace doth much more abound and swallowed up. So then the law was until John. It had served its purpose, and it had revealed sin, and now the Master had come to take away sin, as sin and death by one man, righteousness and life by one man. And so that ended it and put us under grace. And today, we are the lovely children of God by grace. We have eternal life by grace. And we are his children. And if we're children, then we're heirs and partakers of the wonderful benefit of God. Having passed from death unto life, we can never come into condemnation, because now the body of death that caused the problem is dead, buried in a watery grave in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is with you, to be buried with him in his death, having put on his body, as to as many as have been baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. And putting on his body, then have you put on the wedding garment, and you are now ready for the supper. As to the feasting of this wonderful charitable gift of the Lamb himself, which is the word, to taste of him and see if he's good. To eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, because if you don't, you don't have any life in you. For the life is in the blood. All right, so then we see that it's sealed on the backside. And so then the seals must be loose. At the end of the church ages, then it shows what God has done. It shows what God's done, because this is just a little period now. See, at the end of the church ages, here it is, John, the revelation. And the door open in heaven. The book is now given to the Lamb. Why is it given to the Lamb? Because the church ages are now over. See, the church ages are now over at that point. The fourth chapter, the church ages ended in the third chapter. The fourth chapter, the door is open in heaven, as to the door Peter opened. Now, as to say, Jesus, I am the door to the sheepfold. And all of a sudden it said to John, as to the rapture of the church, come up hither. And then when he went up there, it indicated that the church ages was over, which meant to you and I, that the days of the Gentiles had come to an end. So in that, then the Lamb took the book, and now the revelation has to show what had taken place during this time. And as it was, the Lamb, John said, is to this book of redemption, that all through heaven there was a search. All through earth there was a search. All under the earth there was a search. And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, nor under the earth, was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals to look thereon. And John said, I wept, and I wept, and I wept much. Said, but a voice said unto me, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, even the seed as to whom the promise was made, he hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Don't weep, John. So he looked, and there came, rather than a lion, a lamb, and took the book. And when he took the book, he began to loose the seals. No one could loose those seals, because there had been no one that ever lived that kind of life. That no one that had ever lived holy. All of mankind, from the very beginning, as in Adam, all die, one bloodstream, all sinful. And then there had to come the virgin birth as to Jesus, a new blood cell, a new blood life. And this had to be as to a separation from all of the human beings. And this is why that when Jesus died and went down into the heart of the earth, that hell couldn't hold him and death couldn't hold him, because he was incorruptible. There was no corruption about him. There was no wrong in him. There was no guilt in him. He was without fault. As Pilate said, I find no fault in this just man. So, having been delivered for our offenses, bruised for our transgression, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. I am the Lord God that healeth all of thy diseases. I forgive all of thine iniquities. And David of old said, forget not all of his benefits, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. So we find that we rejoice because this has happened to us. And now the preacher has come to tell us what has happened to us. And the book is open. And so then we say what has happened to us. As Paul, receiving the revelation, but saying as in his day, that he could not make things known as to what he saw in the third heaven when he went up as Christ. He could not do that in that age. It was not lawful at that time. It was not in season for it to be made known. But now, in our day, we've come to a lawful age as to where the children in the past could not know about the secret things. They all know now. They studied in the book. It's been made known. Every natural thing running a parallel, even to the historical stride from the Eastern world to the Western, as to natural recorded of his story or history. And now we're going back the other way as to the unveiling. It's still a historical stride, but not historical in the sense that historical comes from his story. It is historical to this extent that it is his story, which is Christ Jesus. His story, which is God, or the story of the members of his body. And it is a spiritual unveiling as it goes back this time with the church, not as to the world and their government and their stride toward conquering, and as it was as to the Spaniards when they landed over here from Spain, and the conquest and these different things that were here and at Plymouth Rock when they came in, as to discover America, as to that, and then from here, as we say, from the east to California with the gold rush. Now it's coming back from California, even as we've had these people to come in from California here, as we said they would. It's coming back now, and Bush being raised up as the president, as he's out glittered the stars, and now coming back. See, it's moving back. It's got to move all the way back. It moved from here out to the Indian Territory as to the red man, and we bring this out. We don't have time to do that tonight, but we bring it out on tape as to where the River Jordan is found as to this third dimension, and where the Red Sea is found in this third dimension. But now it's coming back, see? And it had to come back as to from California all the way back out to that place, Tucson, Arizona, out into Tulsa, Oklahoma, out into the middle parts of the nation there. And there it had to go down to that sunset thing where Brother Branham was on the mountain that sunset mountain, as to Moses that brought the people out with great mighty signs and wonders, and then they died in the wilderness of the intellectual word of quotes. And then it was to be picked up, and we spoke of it concerning Martin Luther, even as to a natural type, when Martin Luther came along and what he had to do with, and how that he was like Moses. He'd been to the mountaintop and took a look, and after that he was killed like that. We spoke of that before his death, and so it happened down the line just that way. See, and on is people who are symbolic as to certain things. They're symbolic. You can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. Whatever happens in the world, God has allowed it. And it's not because anybody has caused it. It is because of the iniquity and the sin and the corruption of people. Over in Bangladesh right now, one devastation right after another devastation. And of course, we want to blame God, but that's not true. God never does any of those things. Those people are Mohammedan worshipers. Those people in the foreign field will not listen to God. And somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we're missionaries and we're supposed to go over there and tell them this. But brethren, you forget that they were the ones that we came out from. And that is with Martin Luther in German. That's where all the schools sprang up. He was a German as to the Reformation. And then on that side of the ocean was where the Jew was. And salvation came from the East. And they had their opportunity. Even in India and other places. I've been there as to the places where Thomas, like the great apostle or another apostle, was there where they preached. And they killed him there. And they went into darkness because they did not have it. And folks, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. America is killing them out just like the Jews. They Jim Jones them. They don't want them. They make fun of them. They mock them. They call them holy rollers. Everything that they can think of, they put them down. You'll be hated for my name's sake of all nations. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And America is just about to go into darkness. Already they're translating their Bibles, and they've got the new versions of the Bible, and they've hipped it up, and it's a hippie thing. I read a little bit in one of them, and it's blasphemy, and it's a disgrace to God Almighty. And they're changing the words as to the King James Version onto something that will fit their understanding and their feelings about it. And the ministry is wholeheartedly endorsing it and accepting it, which means God is gradually turning them over to a reprobate mind because they had not a love for the truth. Then God is letting them modify to their own intellectual reasoning that they may do their own thing. Like a little article I read to you not too long ago where these great leaders, religious leaders, had come together and they had taken the King James Version and they'd gone through it and they had checked out all of these writings of Jesus that's in red. And they, when they got through, there was just a very few of them that they say that we can actually use. And the rest of them, they annulled that they're no good. No benefit, and that really it just don't have to do with God. But yet it was God that was speaking. See, and they, with their little finite minds, having some kind of brainstorm like a computer out of control, some little tiny speck in the universe, he judges God and judges God's word and sits down like an ignoramus to tell somebody, you know, what is right and what is not right, and he hasn't got enough sense to go to town and back by himself. Let's give the Lord a hand. Anybody do that ain't got enough sense to go to town. And come back by themselves. All right, maybe you think I'm a little harsh, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I can understand somebody making an error and misquoting. Somebody making an error and maybe they left it out not knowing. But when scientists and people get together to do that, that's just absolutely foolishness. But anyway, let's go on with our little thought here and we'll close in a few minutes. So then it's sealed on the back side and it has to be open. And there's only one that can open it, and that's the one that fulfilled it. He's the only one worthy that can come up and loose that book. And so he looses them one at a time, and this great, wonderful knowledge of the revelation of Almighty God, it fills our heart and fills our soul. And who is it loosed to? It is loosed to his body, to his members. Who understands it? It is him. The world doesn't see it. It's not loosed to the world. For the Bible said, they shall not see when good cometh. But it is loose to us. Why is it loose to us? Because as in this word of God, when it is broke down, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from revelation to revelation, from one understanding to another understanding, as to a transformation of mind, as to one concept or perception to another, herein is the righteousness of God revealed. And so then he reveals it. Now, it is given unto you to know the mysteries, Jesus said, as to the unveiling, but unto them it is not given. But it is given unto them that somebody should preach the word to them, to tell them the do's and don'ts of life and the liberties of the Christian and the death and bondage of them that reject God's word. So then it's very, very obvious that we must preach the gospel with a television, radio, whatever. Paul even made this statement. He said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless, the word of God's going out, and herein I rejoice. But to you and I, the unveiling, it is the righteousness of God, because we are quickened by that, and the activation of those vibrants that I spoke of goes into our heart and into our spirit, and our spirit is translated into the marvelous spirit of eternal living. The Spirit of Christ. There is no life except the Spirit. And if you are in the Spirit, then you have life. If your spirit is translated into the Spirit of life, even Christ Jesus' Spirit, then you have life. If it isn't translated into Christ's Spirit, you don't have any life. For he that hath the Son hath life, and without the Son there is no life. He shall never see life. So then we know that these words are spirit and life, because the Word was made flesh as to the Son of God. And when we speak to you these words of spirit and life, as to the unveiling, to the revelation, as being given unto you to know the mysteries, while the world cannot see it, so you're going through your school as a college that has its confines close within those that are traveling to and fro around it as the traffic, they never know. But them that are on the inside, as to the subjects of that, they are getting this indoctrination. And so it is with you. You've been filled with this wonderful understanding of God from faith to faith, glory to glory, and Enoch was translated by faith, which means that it is given to you proportionally by measure, as a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, to where you can grasp it, because at the coming of the bright light at the end of the age, all of a sudden there comes that devastation, because the light is so bright everything is consumed. So we are transformating into the light and becoming one with the light, as to a 1, 2, 3 from the inner part to the outer man. That means that we're coming into this greatness and into this light, as to the unveiling of this wonderful revelation, as herein is the righteousness of God revealed, as from faith to faith, because God's righteousness is given to you by faith, and your heart is sanctified by faith. And if you don't believe, it's impossible to please God, as to have the union and fellowship with God, because it's by faith that your heart is sanctified, and it's through that sanctification, as that cleanliness, that the Spirit of life enters into your heart. All right, so then we praise God for this, and this is why we should do everything we can as to have a clear conscience, so that we'll have confidence and believe in God. And I say this again here, and kind of bringing my thoughts to a close. I say this, that is to say, the church ages being over. As to being over, then all of a sudden what happens? See, down at the end of the church ages, the revelation that John saw is made manifest here. It's given us to the end of the Bible, the last part in the Bible. And yet it was just a few short years after Calvary that John got it. So obviously it has been working through the church ages, going down through the church ages, and now the sevenfold expose of it is here, and this light is so bright as to the expose. Even the light as to understanding, your understanding being enlightened as to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length as to the mysteries, knowing that this light shined in darkness as to the intellectual reasoning of the human beings, and they are not able to comprehend this light because they cannot see light. They are creatures of darkness, and they cannot see good when good cometh, because they do not have eyes of understanding to see. All right, but you have eyes of understanding. You have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You have eyes to see as to what God is doing, and always that the Father does you do. At the end of the church ages, it happens because all of a sudden it is time for the 7 years of tribulation to join itself to the 483 years that was brought up to Calvary. And then it is no more that door that is open. If I shut the doors back there, there's no more a gap. I can look from here out to the flag and the fountain, but if the doors are closed, then that means wall-to-wall Jones.
See, and there's no more break in the wall. And if the 7 is taken from the 483, and then the church age has come, as to a heavenly thing, as to the door open in heaven, and ye that are in heaven, these things taking place in heaven, the expose as to the ark through the rent veil, as to the open doors, then that means that you see this, see? And then when it is over, the doors is closed, and all of them that are blind, they don't see that. And the Jews come back in, having been blinded in part. All of a sudden, the veil falls from their eyes. But it is when they are brought back to Calvary. 7, cut off, pulled over here. Then when it comes back to Calvary, like a rickrack, a ball coming back right here, joins itself, it then becomes as the 490 years. Or that is to say, the 7 years start in stride. As to the 490 years, it was determined upon Daniel's people to make an end. Because I say again, from Daniel's day, there wasn't but 490 years left of the world. Just 490 years. And again, a person would say, well, what about all these hundreds of years, Brother Pike, that's been in between that time? It has been heaven. I know you don't believe that. You don't understand that. Some of you do. Whether you believe it or not, it's still real. It's still there. And now the door as to the heavenly age is fixing to close. And then the 7 years will come back, and it'll just be 490 years, just like the angel said. And that upon Daniel's people, who represents them that are without, as to those that are cast out of the presence of God at this time. All right, so they'll be coming back in. That means that's why the revelation took place at the end of the church ages. And this is why the coming of the Lord was at the end of the church ages. Luke, I read it to you there. 21, I turned over to Revelation 6. There it was in Revelation 6 as to the fulfillment of what Jesus said. And so it is that he was talking to the Jews. Though he said, what I say to one, I say to all, as to allegorically we're speaking to the world. But nevertheless, as to parabolic speech, so that they could not understand the mysteries, because it was not given to them. But unto you it's given to understand all of these wonderful things that our Heavenly Father does in his parabolic activity in life. All right, so then we see that it's getting late, real late, and the church, her light is ready to go out in the world, because she is right down at the finishing line now as to her diplomacy. And that means that all these things are the fulfillment of time. Like I was praying a few days back, and I heard that voice that said, the signs of the time is gone, I believe it said. I can't remember what it was now. We got it on tape here somewhere. Exactly, the signs of the time. The signs of the time are gone. And so then the signs of the time have been fulfilled, and Jesus called the people hypocrites that could not see them, that did not see them. Said, you are hypocrites. You discern the face of the weather. And as to the signs of the time, you can't discern those things, and you're hypocrites. So then we've been able to discern the signs of the time in watching, because we have eyes to see. And we know now that it's nigh even at the door. So then with this, we sang that song, Are You Ready for the Bridegroom to Come? All right, let's stand together. Maybe we ought to sing that little chorus, Frank. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Can you sing that with me? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Sing that again. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for that bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom.
come.
You love him? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Hallelujah. The Bible said at the midnight cry, the cry was given, and it was said, go ye out to meet him. And the bridegroom came and took them all away while the others did not have any oil in their lamp. This is why I say that you need the Spirit. You may be a believer, but unless you've got the Spirit, you don't have any oil in your lamp. You may be as to what is referred to as a religious person or Christian in the world, because these were accounted for as virgins, five foolish and five wise. But the five wise knew that they had to have the Holy Ghost. They had to have the oil. They had to have the Spirit. And the others, they said, our oil is gone. Our lamps are gone out. Now, the question arises, why did their lamps go out? They apparently had light. Why did it go out? Because the world is a religious reflector of this wonderful light of the children of God. And they have a light because right now the blood is on the seat of atonement. And because of that, the grace is coming down. The rain on the just and the unjust, the tare and the wheat, which means that they do have a light. For the grace of God is to the church, the light of the world. But the thing is, that all is given of God. They don't contain that all. They're only illuminated with that light. And when the children's light go out, their light is gone. And it is said at the midnight cry, the cry came. I brought this little thing out to you about the way that Jews are in their marriage, as to a man that'll come and court a girl. He will talk to her. He will propose. He will make his offer as to wanting her for his bride. Then he must go away and build a house. And during this time that he's gone, she must remain faithful. He goes to build her a house. And she remains faithful during that time. And then it comes to pass that a certain time when all this is finished, before this, he gives her to drink of his wine, and she does. And then after that, going away, you know, like his Pentecost, the wine. And then going away, finally, he comes back at an unexpected hour. Might be a long time, but she remains faithful. And all during the night, she keeps her lamp, and she keeps all in her lamp. And she's ready just at any minute to rise up and trim the wick and light it. Because what he'll do, he'll come off like in the distance, and he'll give a cry. There'll be a cry. There'll be somebody that will run out like a forerunner and cry, behold, the bridegroom's here. Usually about 12 o'clock at night or whatever. And she jumps up out of the bed, and she scrambles around. She lights a light, and she's got her lamp. And then she goes away with him to become his bride. So see, that's the way it is, like a thief in the night. As to the midnight cry, and he'll be coming back. And if you don't have his Spirit, you're none of his. Don't think that you're the bride of Christ because of all this charismatic praising of God and hollering, going on and shouting and living like the world and doing the things of the world. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. The love of the Father's his Son, his Spirit. If you have his Spirit, it will mortify the deeds of the flesh. It will make you turn away from the things of the world. You'll forget about that fleshly exuberance, and you will transformate in mind as to the wonderful will of God to do his will. And you'll want to be found in his will, giving your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which the Bible said is your reasonable service. If you have the glitter and the glamour of the world in your eyes and thoughts and whatever, then are you the serpent's seed. And you have to remember that. So I just said that to say this, that what we need to do, we need to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Okay, can we sing another little chorus? Let's sing the song we love. We sing this quite often. I love him. Can you sing that with me? I love him. You know, I've got a feeling that you people here at Bethlehem is going to be without excuse. I've got a feeling that you understand that you're not ignorant, that you understand that it's going to be required of you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And I've got a feeling that you understand, because I've made it very plain in all of my sermons as to what God is and what you are and what he has for you and what we should do to obtain it, what he expects of us. And I believe that you are altogether without excuse, whether you live it or don't live it, or whether you testify of it to someone else. I believe that you know, and God is going to require it of you. So then, if you love me, as the songwriter said, then you'll keep my commandments. And if you don't keep my commandments, then you don't love me. For love is not in word, but in deed. And if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. I love him. Do you really love him? Do you walk as he does? Do you walk as he does? Is your desire the same as his desire? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever to 1,000 generations. The desire of your heart, what is it? Is it a desire to do after the commandments and keepings of God? Or is it a desire to do the things of the world? What is it? If the desire of the world's in you, the desire of the Father isn't there. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. So we love him if we keep his commandments. We love him all because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in this book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in this book, it is mine. Sing it with me now. For every promise in the book, friend, it's thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing this little chorus. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that's enough for me. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For we know that we're the children God set free. We are God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first. Can you sing it again? Though we claim Jesus first of all, God's gonna answer us when we call. For we know that we're those children God set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that's enough. Can you sing one more time? I claim Jesus first of all. He's gonna answer me when I fall. For I know that I'm His child. He set me free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here in this earth. I claim Jesus first and that love. One more time.
So we claim Jesus first of all. He will answer us when we call.
For we know that we're those
children. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on the earth.
I claim Jesus first and that love for me. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the roads up to heaven up above and make it easy for those that's behind. So we're working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out roads that leads to heaven up above and make it easy for those behind. And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look up ahead, 'cause there's the mountain top. And when you stand upon the hill, you'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you. Can you sing that with me? You'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry that load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look up ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when you stand upon the hill, you'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will praise the Lord. We'll shout down the other one more time.
But you move over just a little bit,
give you that helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry on.
All right, we can help each other carry the load if we're willing to share. And we are God's workmanship in Christ. And God, having wanted us to be perfect in His sight,
and wanting us to have all things, then he hath made us to be what his desire is, as to making Christ Jesus that. So today we are as he is, and whatever he is, so are we in him. And that means that in that he is perfect, then so are we. God having perfected forever them that are sanctified. And in that he is the Son of God, so are we, members in particular of his body. And in that he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, so are we as in he, so are we. One with him, so are ye, as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And so then all the world will have to come and kneel at your feet and know that he's loved you. For God, even God our God, even the great Spirit that lives in the body of Jesus Christ, and that without measure will come again and return into the body of his many members, that he may be glorified within his saints, that all the world may see him within his saints, as to his body and the radiance of his light and of his glory, and all nations will come to the rising of your light. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Every man that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but every one that be perfect shall be as his master. So then he hath perfected forever them that are the body of the master. Let's do all we can, pressing forward to the prize of the mark of that high calling, is to make this, whatever the measure of our life be, is to be made manifest in our mortal genes, as to the life of Jesus Christ on the inside. Let it be made manifest in the mortality, that it might be swallowed up, and that immortality may be in its place. There's a terrestrial body and a celestial. Let's sing another chorus together, Kevin. I know you're probably tired tonight. We've had kind of a busy day too. Somebody today, as to the children getting together, gave Betty a table. She had given her table away to someone, and she had given her chair away to someone. And so they gave her a chair, and they gave her a table, and gave her some chairs for the table. That is, they gave her a lounge chair. And then, of course, the brethren got together and gave us a nice 92 Ford Victoria, which was very allegoric at this moment, and a very fine automobile. We rode around in it today. And different ones did things for us. We went in and somebody had prepared our food, and the table was set so beautifully. And a couple of places for myself and Betty. We ate and enjoyed ourselves. And then people are so kind to us. They do little things, perhaps, that some people would never know anything about. As last night, I just wanted a little bit of something for supper that involved soda crackers. We didn't have any soda crackers or saltine crackers. And so Sister Betty, she was going to cook some cornbread. And I said, no, I want some soda crackers. And I didn't want her to have to cook anyway, but I didn't know what she was going to do. But she called a neighbor, and she said she saw a light in her house. And, of course, this neighbor is always bringing us something anyway, sometimes a whole meal. And Sister Sue and Sister Doakes was over visiting a little bit with each other at their house. And of course, when Betty called, they went to the trouble to send us soda crackers over. And then over in the middle of the night, somebody will bring me something or run by and offer me something or want to get something for me, which is so thoughtful, so very thoughtful. Many times I'm down at the building down here, and Brother Kleinex will take his time to go get me a cup of hot tea, or maybe in the men's meeting. And you know, these things are outstanding to me. The Bible said, if you give as much as a cup of water, you shall no wise lose your reward. And all of these things must have a reward. Someone would say, well, do you believe God will give us eternal life for those things? No. No, but you do have to have a reward. It might be a new car. It might be another year on your life. It might be a blessing. As to give you a happy home when you would not have had a happy home, or keeping something from happening that would have happened to you ordinarily. See, but at the same time, if you live a good life, a clean life, an overcoming life, and you live for the Lord, you're born again, then you get the rewards in this life plus eternal life. So it's so wonderful to have people that are thoughtful and kind. Many cards came into Sister Betty today, being Mother's Day. And Betty's greatly loved around the different parts of the world and here by her sisters in the Lord. And it made her real happy. It made her real happy.
course, he talked to Marianne today a little bit, Kenny Rogers' wife, and had a little opportunity to visit there. We had to get on back. One thing for the church, I had to preach tonight, and we run over, and we spent a little time there talking. And that kind of brightened Betty's day to talk to her. A few days back over the telephone, she was talking to Reba Rambo, and also she talked to Buck over the telephone. And while we were over in Israel, she talked to Red Foley's daughter, which was Pat Boone's wife, prayed for her there. And, of course, during that time, as you remember, I got a chance to talk to Pat Boone. But every once in a while, we run into a celebrity or we run into somebody that's in the government. Sometimes we run into people that's in the upper government, and we get a chance to witness to them. And sometimes people that are running for offices, they come to our services. Sometimes some of the elite comes to our services, and sometimes they secretly come for counsel as to professional men and college students. But in it all, it means one thing, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So then, it's not a matter of as to talking to them, the gospel to every creature before the end can come, but it is as to whether or not they believe and are willing to go down to the street called straight and to wash away their sins by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's sing this little chorus in closing, Brother Tubby. I know that it's a little uncomfortable out there because it's kind of sweaty up here. I'm perspiring some myself. And I will praise Him. I will. You know, we need to love the Lord. We need to fast and pray. We need to study our Bible. We need to walk on with the Lord. I don't mean to fast and not obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey is, and to hearken to the word is better than the fat of rams. All of your fasting and effort isn't going to do you any good unless it's for the right purpose. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge. See, you got to fast to make your voice to be heard on high. You got to do the things that please God to confident your heart so that you can believe. Obey the Lord, love the Lord, and then add some fasting with it and some prayer with it, some study with it. Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. And then you'll not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. But in the time of battle, your sword will be sharp, and you'll be a real man of war for God. Be peaceable, love all men, make peace. And then when the enemy attacks, the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. You've got to draw blood because you've got to cut down that wicked life of the old serpent. Do you really love Him? While we've got our heads bowed, I'll ask Brother Gary Joyner if he'll come and dismiss us tonight. And while Gary's coming, can you just lift your hands with me? Close your eyes and let's sing a verse of that one more time. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every sin. Can you bow your heads, close your eyes, lift your hands as Brother Gary comes tonight? The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith.